you know that when your eyes close here, that when they open there, the first face you'll see, like the blind man, is Jesus's.
Pastor Chris Roseborough, host of Fighting for the Faith, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
This is the gospel. It's Jesus. And when you take these texts and make them about you, you miss him. And you leave yourself with no hope. And our hope is in him.
You can listen to Chris's entire presentation and teachings by Craig Parton, Matt Harrison, Al Schmidt, Will Whedon, and Jonathan Fisk on a new audio DVD for the 2014 Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Luther did the same thing. He just went down to the tavern, heard some half-drunk men singing a song, thought that would make a good hymn, went back and took these bar tunes and put them in the church.
My response is, where are they getting this information from? Because it's completely wrong.
We're not going to put a pall on somebody who hasn't been baptized, or someone who had been baptized and rejected it.
That which was begun in my baptism is fed and nourished at the Lord's table, and without that, there's not much there in me to sustain through trouble or trial or handle what life brings.
Former evangelicals on track to be Lutheran pastors by attending Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Love, Issues, Etc.
Well, he's in the news again. This time it sounds like it's getting serious, at least in a, an ecclesiastical sense. The headline reads, 21 former Mars Hill Church pastors, Mars Hill being this very influential West Coast church in Seattle, Washington, satellites all around that area and imitators everywhere. 21 former Mars Hill Church pastors bring formal charges against Mark Driscoll, the founding pastor of Mars Hill. Chris Roseborough will join us here to bring us up to date on the latest in that unfolding story around Mars Hill and its pastor, Mark Driscoll. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon. It's the 22nd of August. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Matt Richards is going to join us. We're going to be talking with him about the cross in Lutheran theology. Is the cross, does it loom too large in Lutheran theology? Do Lutherans put so much emphasis on the cross that they de-emphasize other doctrines, or maybe even the resurrection? What's the answer to this? Why is this perceived as a common dilemma in Lutheran theology? Dr. Robert George will join us in hour two of Issues Etc. We'll get his thoughts on a third form of atheism. He says that Victoria Beeching, this popular Christian artist who has come out as gay, saying, "I'm gay and God loves me just the way I am," is actually displaying a very ancient form, a third form of atheism. We'll find out what he means by that. Then Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will be our guest. We'll talk about a new study on sexual relationships before marriage. In the last half hour of the program or so, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. That's four soundbites that we play for you. All you have to do is listen, and then you call, you email, send us a tweet, and go to our Facebook fan page, and all four of those places you can vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week on this Friday afternoon. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And for our beloved on-demand listeners, our comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about formal charges being brought against Pastor Mark Driscoll of Mars Hill Church in Seattle, Chris Roseborough, pastor of Consvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back, Todd.
We've been talking about this a lot, and our listeners might be saying at this point, look, I understand there are problems at Mars Hill and with Mark Driscoll, but this is just 21 pastors bringing formal charges. This is just a dog pile. This is beating a man while he's down. What's your response?
Well, it's not really dogpiling. If you were to take a read of the documentation of this and note the fact that One of the men who is on the 21 men, list of men bringing the charges, is the man who co-founded Mars Hill with Mark Driscoll. His name is Leif Moy, and Leif Moy has for years been noticeable by his silence regarding the issues that are going on at Mars Hill, and has broken that silence and is now speaking out. And when you take the time to listen to the interviews that he's done and really listen carefully to what he's saying, he's not doing this, and these pastors who are bringing these charges are not doing this because they're dogpiling on Mark. In reality, this is all with a goal of seeking reconciliation and for there to be healing to take place, but they understand that cannot take place as long as Mark continues to remain impenitent regarding the abuses that he's, these men are claiming, that he's guilty of. And so the goal in all of this is for Mark to be set free, because sin is slavery, sin is bondage, and the sins that he's enslaved to are very, very, very serious sins, and they are causing him to abuse the office of the pastoral ministry in a way that is, literally leaving a wake of destruction in his path. So these men are seeking reconciliation, and ultimately their goal is for Driscoll and those whom he's hurt to be reconciled and to be forgiven. That's their goal.
Somebody says, but hasn't Driscoll issued one, if not two, public apologies?
Well, the issue here is that the when you read the charges are of such a nature that they demonstrate a pattern of behavior that technically disqualifies Mark Driscoll from holding the pastoral office. And so the idea here is that although Driscoll has apologized for a couple of things, he hasn't truly repented, and the nature of the charges is of such that it rises to the level that he's technically biblically disqualified from continuing to be the pastor of Mars Hill or to be a pastor at all. And that's an issue that has to be addressed straight up, and thus far has been completely skirted by Mark Driscoll.
So you're saying here apologies are good, they're welcomed, but this isn't an issue of I hurt a few people or I offended a few people and I've said I'm sorry. This is an issue of whether or not his actions have permanently disqualified him to serve in that office.
That's correct.
Okay.
And when you read the document that these men have put together, they really took the time to carefully lay out biblically what the qualifications are for a pastor, as one who is not overbearing, one who is patient, one who is kind, and so they laid all this out and then gave specific instances within the past couple of years. And it's interesting that they did this, and the people I'm talking with, these 21 pastors purposely wanted to bring up instances within the past couple of years that show that there's a pattern of behavior, because the rumor on the street is that the charges that were alluded to when the Acts 29 network just a week or so ago dropped Mark Driscoll and Mars Hill from their roles, that the issues that they were dealing with were charges that were greater than 3 years old. And so these 21 pastors wanted to focus on over the past couple of years, here's been the pattern of behavior, and each of these men are attesting to as witnesses to these facts. So the idea is that biblically, when a charge against a pastor is brought, there needs to be two or more witnesses to validate the claims and the charges. And in their case, it's not just two or more. The 21 men are standing united together and giving a single testimony to the ongoing abuse, bullying, and just abusive tactics that Driscoll engages in.
I mean, just the few charges that they specify here, or the incidents, they have a list of kind of examples
yep.
of this behavior, are pretty shocking. It sounds like Mark Driscoll was kind of a bull in a China shop and not a particularly gentle bull.
No, in fact, if going with that metaphor, he has a tendency to gore people that are working with him as sub pastors underneath him. Which is kind of to be expected considering the brashness which with he made that statement back in 2007 that there was a pile of dead bodies behind the Mars Hill bust, and by the grace of God, it'll just be huge when he's all done. Well, the thing is that when there's a pile of dead bodies that aren't actually dead, they have a tendency to speak up. And so there's if you were to kind of put it in this term, the one common denominator with all of these incidences is Mark Driscoll, and which demonstrates that he has a serious problem. It's one that is you know, the question is, even if he got help, you know, could he get the type of help that, you know, that would, you know, bring him to true penitence and control of these issues, that could he ever really be restored to ministry? I think that's a legit question at this point. But if I were a betting man, I mean, you know, I don't think that he's going to voluntarily remove himself. So, you know, my hope and prayer for Driscoll is that that these charges result in him being removed from ministry for his sake and for the sake of the people that he's hurt.
Is part of the problem here the ongoing struggles and kind of constant shuffling of the governance of Mars Hill, the struggles? I mean, a lot of these things arise from the fact that it appears that for the last several years, Mark Driscoll didn't really care what kind of governance the congregation had. He considered himself Mars Hill.
In fact, some of the statements that are coming out from these 21 pastors are actually shocking in this sense, that Driscoll has made statements to the effect that he is the Mars Hill brand. He, personally, Driscoll is the brand of Mars Hill, which is rather shocking, because Christianity is about proclaiming Christ, not proclaiming a pastor. And it's actually a little bit more than the shuffling there. The shuffling that has gone on, when Mars Hill was founded, they actually had a full functioning local elder board. And since 2007, there has been a complete overhaul of the governance at Mars Hill, so that there literally is no real accountability for Driscoll, because he has pretty much a say, you know, the say in picking the people who are the men who are supposed to keep him accountable. And the men he's picked are kind of like corporate yes men, is probably the right way of putting it. So, you know, they've got a real problem on their hands, and you know, it's kind of a catch-22, because if they really believe that Driscoll is the brand for this church, then the question, of course, comes up, you know, as far as succession. Can Mars Hill continue on without Driscoll? But with everything that's coming, and it seems like, you know, shoe after shoe after shoe after shoe keeps dropping, the question is, can Mars Hill survive with Driscoll still at the helm? I mean, they're in a real rock and a hard place situation here. But what needs to trump all of this is not the ongoing sustainability of Mars Hill. What needs to take place is a look at Scripture and a real honest look at what's happened in these charges that are brought, and that the goal is reconciliation and the forgiveness of sins and true repentance. That's what needs to be seen.
Chris Rosebro is our guest. We'll have a few more minutes with him on the other side of this break. It's Friday afternoon, August the 22nd. We're talking about formal charges being brought by 21 former pastors of Mars Hill Church against its current pastor, Mark Driscoll. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity. You're listening to Issues Etc.
leave it to the Lutheran Church to want all the discarded crap from evangelicalism and evangelical worship, jumping on that boat at the moment evangelicals are leaving it.
Craig Parton, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And it's my generation, the baby boomer generation, that frankly needs to die to leave all these entertainment orientation, market orientation, me orientation, what can the church do for me today? That kind of perspective in the Lutheran churches, which is really needs to be extirpated in some way.
You can listen to Craig Parton's presentation, Making the Case Against Lutherans Imitating Evangelicals, on an audio DVD from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Friday afternoon, August 22nd. Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, is our guest. We're getting an update now on some formal charges brought against Pastor Mark Driscoll of Mars Hill Church in Seattle. Now, we were talking before about the charges regarding his kind of, what would we call it, kind of general bullying of staff, elders, leadership, parishioners, you name it. There are also, in the formal charges being brought, questions about two things, and I want you to address them, if you would, Chris. The charges of plagiarism, and then charges of sexual harassment in some form.
Right. We'll take those in reverse order. The charges of sexual harassment that are being made pertain to comments made by Driscoll to some of the wives of the 21 pastors who are bringing these formal charges, and the inappropriateness of particular comments. Now, I am not privy to the exact comments themselves, but I found it fascinating that those charges were brought up. Now, the other issue is the regards of plagiarism. Driscoll is on record in a book that he wrote years ago, one of his earlier books, basically pointing out that any pastor who is guilty of plagiarism is not qualified to be a pastor. And I mean, this is his own statement that he made of his own volition years ago. Well, he's not consistent with his own standard then, because now it has been officially found that there is plagiarism in 9 of Driscoll's books, 9 of them, and that's the current thing. And so the question is, does this disqualify him from ministry or not? I mean, this is theft of intellectual property and not right attribution. There are journalists who have lost their jobs over lesser instances of plagiarism than what Driscoll is guilty of. And then, of course, the question always, that also needs to be addressed is, is regarding the money that was used, the church money that was used to make Driscoll a New York Times bestselling author. Where did the funds come from? What was the church's role in all of this? What did he know and when did he know it? And so, all of this, this is all extremely serious. And these charges are of such a magnitude that the right thing to do, literally, would be to put him on a leave of absence pending an investigation, a formal investigation of the charges. And I would even say from an independent third party that is not made up of yes men like the current board of elders for Mars Hill. I mean, this is really serious, and because of the fact that Driscoll has put himself forward as a pastor to pastors, this is not a man who's just minding his own business and pastoring a church in Seattle. This is a man who has purposely marketed himself to be somebody who is a thought leader in evangelicalism, one to be emulated. Because of all of this, this is such a huge issue that, I mean, what's at stake in some sense is kind of like the future and shape of American evangelicalism.
So there are a lot of pastors and congregations that have been, for lack of a better word, they've been imitating Mars Hill. They have come under the tutelage of Mark Driscoll. Even if they haven't been, maybe just reading his books, a lot of pastors and congregations that have emulated Driscoll and Mars Hill to the degree that they have allowed their pastors to essentially sweep away all the old form of governance in a congregation, insulate themselves with sycophants. What are you going to call them, Chris? I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And essentially kind of allow the facade of oversight or of accountability to the thin facade of accountability to be maintained, when in fact the pastor basically does whatever he wants and the congregation does whatever the pastor wants. What do you say to him?
The person who wants to go that route, I would basically say you need to take a hard, long look at what Scripture reveals regarding the pastoral office, its the qualifications of those who hold that office, and the duties that go along with this office. The pastoral office is that. It's an office. And what Driscoll has done, and he's not the only one who's done this, you know, he's done this in concert with other men like Rick Warren and others, is completely radically changed the pastoral office to such a point that it doesn't at all look or function like what is given to us in Scripture by God himself. And that's the problem. This is a man who technically is not a pastor. He holds an office that's different than pastor. The office that he holds is the office of the vision-casting leader, and that is not synonymous or interchangeable with the pastoral office. And what these men have done is they've kind of rebelled against what Scripture has revealed regarding the pastoral office, and they've overthrown biblical governance for a church body because they truly believe that the biblical model is a hindrance to evangelism and what needs to be done, because they believe that evangelism needs to be done via innovation and giving non-Christians what they want to hear. And that can't happen as long as you have biblically astute and discerning Christians who are sitting on an elder board holding a pastor accountable. So part of what they've done is wipe out the biblical model of accountability so that they have a free hand to basically innovate without any consequences as far as somebody holding them accountable. And what we've seen is that they're amassing power in such a way that it's corrupting them in a way that is causing all kinds of pain and hurt because of the abuses that go along with this. And the person who seeks to be a vision casting leader technically is not one who seeks to be a pastor. Their desires are contrary to what Scripture reveals, and I would even say that it's not even a valid call. There is no call to a vision casting leader. This is an office that's more akin to the papacy than it is to the pastoral office.
Before we let you go, Chris, what's on the docket for Fighting for the Faith tonight?
Well, we will be talking about Mark Driscoll, but we're going to be looking at a Word of Faith teacher and talking about the importance of making destiny decisions and what it means to be supernatural. Our Friday shows have a tendency to be a little bit on the bizarre lunatic fringe side, so that's where we're going to be spending part of our time today.
Folks, you can listen more to Chris Rosebro and Fighting for the Faith right after the broadcast of Issues, Etc. at piratechristianradio.com, piratechristianradio.com. Listen there for Fighting for the Faith right after Issues, Etc. Chris, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Matt Richard. The cross in Lutheran theology is, well, the cross is a major feature. Some people would say, well, the problem with you Lutherans is that the cross is the only feature. It ignores, say, the resurrection or ignores other teachings of Scripture. Is that an accurate picture of what Lutheran theology is and the place of the cross in Lutheran theology? And what do you say to somebody who says, look, the cross is our theology, and that means that all these other things are kind of up for grabs? A Lutheran who says that. Matt Richard will be our guest on the other side of the break. We'll spend the rest of the hour with him on this Friday afternoon, August the 22nd. Then in hour two, Dr. Robert George joins us to talk about a third form of atheism. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway from The Federalist joins us to talk about a new study on sexual relationships before marriage. And before the second hour is out, we will play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one-tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
Truth-centered mission outreach. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California, St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa, St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado, Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.